Part 1. A Simple Proposition. Chapter 1. March 4th, 7:42 a.m. Vladivostok, Russia. His job was to protect the bad from the worst. Not exactly the noblest of ventures, but it paid the bills. Crouched at the edge of the Russian docks, Tucker Wayne let the weight of his duty fall over him. The icy wind and pelting sleet slowly faded from his attention, leaving him focused on a dark, quiet winterscape of cranes, haphazardly stacked shipping containers, and the hazy bulk of boats lining the pier. In the distance, a foghorn echoed once. Mooring lines creaked and groaned. Tucker's training as a U.S. Army Ranger was always at the ready, but it was particularly necessary this morning. It allowed him to home in on two very important issues. First, the port city of Vladivostok, which was a vast improvement over the deserts of war-torn Afghanistan, though he'd never add this frigid place to his list of retirement locations. Second, the assessment of the threat risk, such as who might try to assassinate his employer today. Where would they be hiding, and how would they do it? Prior to taking this job 3 weeks earlier, two attempts had already been made against the Russian industrialist's life, and his gut told Tucker the third would happen very soon. He had to be ready. They both did. His hand reached down to offer a reassuring touch to his companion and partner. Through the snow-covered fur, he felt the tense muscles of the small Belgian shepherd. Kane was a military working dog, a Belgian Malinois, paired years ago with Tucker back in Afghanistan. After Tucker left the service, he took Kane with him. They were bound together tighter than any leash, each capable of reading the other, a communication that went beyond any spoken word or hand signal. Kane sat comfortably beside him, his ears erect and his dark eyes watchful, seemingly oblivious to the snow blanketing the exposed portions of his black and tan fur. Covering the remainder of his compact body and camouflaged to match his coat, he wore a canine storm tactical vest, waterproofed and Kevlar reinforced. Hidden in the webbing of Kane's collar were a thumbnail-sized wireless transmitter and a night vision camera, allowing the two to be in constant visual and audio contact with each other. Tucker returned his full attention to his surroundings. It was early in Vladivostok, not yet dawn, so the docks were quiet, with only the occasional laborer shuffling through the gloom. Still, he did his best to keep a low profile, trying to blend into the background. Just another dock worker. At least, I hope I look the part. He was in his late 20s, taller than average, with slightly shaggy blonde hair. He further masked his muscular physique under a thick woolen coat and hid the hardness of his eyes beneath the furred brim of a Russian ushanka, or trapper's hat. He gave Kane a thumb stroke on the top of the head and got a single wag of his tail in response. A far cry from home, eh, Kane? Then again, if you took away the ocean, Vladivostok wasn't much different from where he'd spent the first 17 years of his life, the small town of Rolla, North Dakota, near the border with Canada. If any place in the United States could give Siberia a run for its money, it was there. As a kid, he had spent his summers canoeing Willow Lake and hiking the North Woods. In winter, it was cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, and ice fishing. But life wasn't as perfect as that postcard image made it seem. His parents, two school teachers, had been killed by a drunk driver when he was 3, leaving him in the care of his paternal grandfather, who had a heart attack while shoveling snow one hard winter. Afterward, with no other immediate surviving relatives, he'd been dumped into foster care at 13, where he stayed until he petitioned for early emancipation and joined the armed services at 17. He pushed those darker years away, down deep. No wonder I like dogs better than people.